This week, Brother Bobby Kilman teaches a lesson titled, The Point of Revelation is the Encounter.
Amen, amen, amen. Aren't you glad that he found you and he picked you up and rested you off? Gave you a new life, a place to stand. Amen. What a Savior we serve. Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad you're saved? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Aren't you glad people get here and work at making everything nice and cool for us as much as possible? And we got to pray that the Lord blesses us, Brother Bass, with the new church. We need to build that new church. Amen. Good problems. Amen. The Lord is good. Thank you, David, Stephanie. Amen. I'm going to dive in. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6, and we'll read three verses there. And I'm going to try my best to bring something tonight to help us a little bit. I hope I can mess with you a little bit. I don't think that's difficult. I just want to be in the spirit, not my flesh. But I do want to try to mess with you a little bit. Mess with the way you read the Bible. Mess with the way you approach what you do. Or at least make you more intentional. Amen, amen, amen. Exodus chapter 6, we're going to read three verses and then dip down, pick up two more. Exodus chapter 6, 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. You know, the Lord can bless you so much that the enemy pushes you towards his will. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Amen. Name Jehovah. Amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you for your worship tonight. You can be seated. What in the world does this mean? How many of you have ever been doing the bread program and you hit a verse like this and you're just kind of like, what? Okay. How many of you have done the bread program? Okay. How many in your just your private devotion time? You're eating alone, you're like, I don't think I've ever heard a preacher preach on that. Yes, good. Okay, that's kind of what we're dealing with tonight. What in the world is going on with this particular passage of Scripture where God says to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Yon. I appeared to them by that name, but you ready? But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, when you look at that name there in the King James, does that mean that somehow Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew nothing of the covenant name of the Lord? You're looking at me. See, that's what I think of. When I read Scripture, Sister Wolf, I'm like, what? Okay. And I try to wrap my brain around it because the Lord is showing us something in the Scripture. Now, we know all the way back in Genesis, the name of God, the covenant name of God is used. So it's not like, you know, they didn't know the covenant name of God existed. Of course, we do, Brother Herbs, have some people suggesting that maybe some editors and redactors took the Old Testament and welded it together just to pull from a bunch of sources. There's actually people that called God by El Elyon. There's another tradition that had Yahweh or Jehovah, and they welded those two together, and it wasn't really written by Moses. That's probably not a good answer, Brother Chance, is it? Because if Jesus said Moses said it, then who had to say it? You got a problem with the incarnation, right? So what does that mean then? That over 6,700 times, Brother Norman, in the Old Testament, the covenant name of God is used. So what is that in Scripture for? Why? How can we make sense of that? I think I can illustrate it with a story. I worked hard. I just couldn't think up a better story. There's a guy, he's a miner in Utah, and he died. And I love this story. I love talking about this story. When he died, he never got married. He was just kind of a loner. He had a little lean-to cabin Brother Bass built up against the mountain. And literally, he didn't even have to go out of the house. There was a entrance to the cave right on the back side of his little cabin that he built, and had a burlap sack. And he would lift up the sack and go right into the entrance of the cave, and he would mine. And so as he died, the nieces and the nephews all came, and where he was at in Utah, where he was mining, and they went to visit Unc, but where he lived, where he kind of did his thing. And they're walking around, and they all pull up in the Suburban, and they're looking around the house, and they're looking at little trinkets. You know, there's the little bedroll kind of rolled up to keep the critters out of it. And, you know, Unc was a good guy, but he was a little eclectic, and, you know. So they took little memorabilia, little things to remember him by. And as they're leaving, another miner's coming up with a couple of pack horses. And he said, hello. He said, I'm your uncle's friend. He said, when your uncle, before he died, he said that if I come to the house after you guys have come in and gone, that if there was anything left, that I would be able to take it. Is that okay? And they said, absolutely. There's not much in there. We love them, but you can go ahead and take anything that's left. You can see where it's headed. It's terrible. The story goes is the nieces and the nephews piled into the Suburban and they drove away. The old miner kind of smiles to himself, walks over to the bed, slides it over, and pulls up some boards and takes out enough gold to build a path. He chuckles as he sees the taillights kind of going out over the countryside, and he says, they should have got to know him better. That's kind of what I want to say tonight. Now, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want you to slip into condemnation. This is not what I'm preaching. What I want to do is I want to inform you on, you ready? How to know God a little bit better. So when we look at this scripture where Moses is encountering God, it's not that God did not let Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob know his covenant name. It means he's about to reveal himself to Moses in a way that Moses hasn't seen before. Ready? And even Abraham and Isaac and Jacob knew the covenant name of God, but ultimately God is about to prep Moses for an encounter with him in a new way. Now, what does that mean? Okay, let's look at it. Exodus chapter 6, verses 5 and 7. The Bible says, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, God says to Moses, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. I wish we had time to deal with that tonight, but we don't have time to deal with that tonight. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know. Everybody say, you shall know. I am the Lord, your God, which brings you out from under the bondage or under the burdens of Egypt. You ready? So God is about to reveal something to Moses. So this is kind of, I wish I could have, I had a better title. I just couldn't do much with it. I just tried, and sometimes you just try and you can't. But this is kind of what I want to say, Brother Chance. The revelation of God is one thing, right? It's critical. But here's what you have to understand. Revelation is encounter. That's where we're going tonight. Right now, you didn't shout and run a house, but we may get there. I don't know that we're going to run a house tonight, but we're going to get there. See, this is what he says to Moses. I'm going to reveal my name to you, he says, in a way that you haven't understood before. I'm about to demonstrate to you, so I have to give you some information, Moses. I'm going to give you some knowledge because I'm going to prep you for a spiritual encounter. So every time, help me do this. So slow, Brother Norman. This is tough. The problem, as I know where I'm going, and I want to just go there and just. But I got to build you there. It's tough, Brother Chan. Right? So this is what that means. Every time you find revelation of God, God doesn't give you revelation just so you can stand in awe of him. When we talk about the nature of God and the character of God, it's wonderful, and we sing about it. But we don't sing about it in this sense that we just stand in awe of God. Every time how many of you know it's awe-inspiring to think about God and who he is and what he's done, right? But it's more than that. It's about an encounter with that living God. So the moment of revelation becomes the opportunity for an encounter with the living God. We're going to get there, and I want to help you because I feel like the Lord has sent me tonight to encourage somebody. And I think you've carried burdens long enough, and I think you've dealt. And look, I understand. Like we, every one of us, face life, and we wonder about where our life is going, and we wonder about the dynamics of our future, Brother Brown, and where is God in all of this? And sometimes we just carry stuff, and that's why the Bible says, you know, we have a burden bearer. Cast your cares on him, right? Because you have a strong God, a powerful God. But it's not just enough to think of him as God Almighty. You ready? You're going to encounter him. Okay, so what are you saying, Brother Coleman? So the encounter of disclosure, the revelation that Moses is having with God is a revelation of God's name, that is for Moses, a new revelation of who and what God is. Okay, we're going to get to someplace good. All right, so let's talk about the Bible. How many of you read the Bible? Read the Bible. The stuff of life. People that don't read their Bible, kind of like, it's the terrible thing. It's like coming to, the only time you look at the Bible really or think about God is like on Wednesdays and Sundays. How many think you could survive if you only ate on Wednesdays and Sundays? You got to eat, right? So, but here's the thing. You know, you can read the Bible in just a cursory way, and it's still not going to feed you. That's what I kind of want to talk about tonight. So if God gave us the Bible, how many of you believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God? Not just infallible, but the inerrant. No errors in here. It's the very, very Word of God. How many of you believe that? Okay. So if God would, okay, Mr. Triggers, if you were God, what would you say to people? No. Let's say you have 66 books, right? You ready? So what would you think about that, okay? I know I'm weird. But if you, it's true, Brother Chance, it really is. So if you were God, what would you say to people? Think about it. You're the creator of the universe. I mean, John, you're at college and you're learning stuff that's just amazing, right? My brother-in-law, Jeff, has a doctorate in biochemistry. I actually tried to pick up his dissertation and read a piece of it. I consider myself somewhat well-read, but I was out of my depth. He had some equations and some stuff in there, and I was like, nope, awesome. I'm sure it's good. You ready? See, God could have done that, right, Brother Lopez? He could have told us all sorts of things. So, for instance, how many stars are there? God knows them all and can call them by name. Right, so he knows how many stars there are, right? So I just was interested. I thought, okay, what if God wanted to tell us a lot about astrology? He could have told us, and so we're looking for the best and the brightest today. So I did a little Google, you know, because that's where the best and the brightest are. Forgive me for that. So there's an assistant professor who founded at Cornell University a service called Ask an Astronomer. And so Dr. Kornreich says, well, if we look at Hubble, a very, very, very rough estimate is about 10 trillion galaxies. And we just don't know. He said, that's a guess. And we can just, because, you know, there might be stuff in the way, and this big kind of star here might be hiding like, you know, a few hundred thousand more behind it. So we just don't know because we can't see. And I'll let John could do this much better than I could about the, because you know you got the telescope out there, and we're gonna, you ready? And we can see more stars, but there's 10 trillion, John. You're never gonna see them all, right? No. And so he said, okay, what we're going to do is look at the estimated stars in the Milky Way. We got computers that can do all that now. John can't do that with a telescope. That would be daunting, right? And so he says, if we take that as an average, now we don't know, the galaxies could vary, could be more, could be less, who knows? He says, so I'm going to go with a conservative estimate. He said, there is one septillion star. But what is septillion? Okay, so you got 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000. Ready? That's a one with 24 zeros after. And you know what the Bible says? Genesis 1:16. He made the stars awesome. God could have told us all that, David, but that wasn't the point. What's fascinating to me is that if you look at the creation of humanity, it takes longer to talk about God creating humanity, you ready, than creating all the rest of creation. Why? Because the absence of God speaking revelation is Revelation 2. Because God is more concerned about a relationship with you than he is disclosing to you the number of the stars. You see, and in that revelation, you just have to say that God is concerned with us. It's not enough to know that intellectually. It's not enough to try to approach knowledge of God as studying facts of what the Bible says about God, Brother Bass. But what we have to wrap our brain around is the purpose of revelation is relationship. So God is saying, I want a relationship with you. And so he speaks then in the Bible, in the absence of revelation, the nature of revelation. And so what does that look like? For instance, let's see how fast I can do this. So in Scripture, when you look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, this is what they did. They worship God and they give thanks for the glory of God. You ready? But not just this, like God is more powerful than anything else. He says that's not their point. He is El Elyon. He is God Almighty. But you ready? He's also the God that we encounter. So when the psalmist is writing his psalm, they take a pen to write in Psalm 118, verses 1 through 6. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, and because his mercy endureth forever. You ready? I give thanks for his glory, but his glory in this sense, Sister Diggers, it's a revelation of his nature. And I know that he's concerned. So every bit of the point of the revelation of God, showing you how powerful he is so that you can have an encounter with him. And anything less of understanding revelation that way is less than what God intends. See, you can have knowledge of God, but that's not, you ready, relationship with God. You can understand facts about God, but that's not true knowledge of God. God is saying, if you want to know me, I want to walk with you. If you want to know me, I want to be involved in your everyday activity. And every bit of my revelation is about convincing you who I am so that you can trust me with every aspect of you. I'm going to get there. Good. All right, so let's look at it. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. I should just give you the mic, Brother Norman. Let's just talk about chesed and his mercy is endureth forever. Mercy, right? His mercy. God is merciful. God that could have said a whole lot of other things wants us to understand more that he is merciful. God, who could have disclosed the intricacies of how our physiology works in terms of biology? Instead, Brother Chance wanted you to understand, first of all, I understand all of that. I made all of that stuff, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But that's about all I'm going to tell you about that. What I want to tell you is I have mercy for you, and I can help you be what you could never be on your own. And you ready? And what we need to tell people is when you understand how God is the creator, it's not of them just rejoicing that God is powerful enough to create the universe. It's God's intricately involved in creation and watching over it, watching over you. That's the understanding that the Bible discloses to us. Okay? All right, I wish we had time to deal with that. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, the God of covenant, right? Brother Norman, the God of relationship, the God who wants a relationship with his people, for he is good because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, all the priests and all the preachers and all the ministry, that his mercy endureth forever. Now let them that now fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side and I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, he said, the psalmist had, he said he's not worried about all this other stuff he could talk about. What he wants you to understand is his mercy is good today. And his mercy can help you through every problem today. And his mercy can provide every need today. And the God of covenant will walk beside you today. And what you need to say is, the Lord is on my side. That's way more important for you to know than anything about the galaxy. Now you hear me. If God could have disclosed all that other stuff and he spent time on just one phrase to drill it again and again and again in his brother Tim, his mercy is la olam. It's to the age. It will bring you from where you are all the way into eternity. Can you trust that God? Yes, because he is good. And his mercy is constant. See, that's what we're dealing with. The revelation of God is about the constancy of God. It's about revealing to us that there is a sure foundation on which we can build our life. Okay. So in the Bible, revelation is always relational. Right? So it's true that God is mighty and all that stuff. And we could talk about that. But, this is what they do. It's what they do in theology. It's weird. Theologians are mostly weird. What that says about me. It really is true, Sister Lopez, that theologians are just kind of odd because most of them are not filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they know about God, but they don't know God. So when they talk about, Brother Herbst, the nature of God, let's get into the doctrine of God. And they're writing these systematic theologies. I love it. I just love data. Mr. Cole's like, Brother Kilman's weird. I know, he said he's weird. Ready? And they write stuff about the doctrine of God. And they look at the omnipresence and the omniscience and all these things. And they say a bunch of stuff, but they reduce that to God's transcendence. I'm going to throw some words at you tonight. What do you mean by transcendence? Those, you ready? It makes God aloof. And how many of you know God is beyond us? Yes, and God is God all by himself. He's other than creation. But that's not, Brother Lopez, the reason that God discloses those attributes in Scripture. And it's a mistake of theologians today to leave God in that abstract other world. The reason God reveals his nature about how powerful he is and how knowledgeable he is so that we can trust him in relationship. Because he's trying to communicate to us, frail, weak human beings. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me and you're bigger than all of this and you know better. You know how to get me where I need to go and you can help me walk through any circumstance. And that's the point of God revealing himself in Scripture so that you can trust. I wish I could sing songs tonight. Because, see, we get it right. When we write, they write theology, it's weird. But when we write songs, we get it right about the glory and the grandeur of God. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. Now, I'm going to tell you that the God that has invested in your life and that has redeemed you and has bought you with his blood, he walks with you. He wants you to assure you tonight. Now, look, I understand because we get used to it. We just kind of go through life. But the question is, why are you still carrying burdens if he's walking beside you? Why are you still worrying so much? You can just say, Lord, it's just too big for me and I'm tired of carrying all this worry and doubt and fear. And I don't know where it's all going to end up, but I do know that it's even if I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can find comfort there. Why? Because knowledge of God is an encounter with the revelation of God, that he's with me and he's walking with me through the trouble. Scripture. So here's what we're saying. Revelation is opportunity. Ready? So God, who once he is transcendent, but he condescends. So let me wrap up tonight. I'm almost done. I hope you don't have a heart attack. So understanding revelation, right? Not just transcendence, condescence. God comes down to reveal himself. So let me give you, let's just look. This is what I want you to do. I want you to read Scripture and see these things disclosed by God. But I hope, Brother Bass, I can convince you to read the Bible in a new way. Say, not only is this Let's just make God great. Let's take, for instance, the omnipresence of God. What is the omnipresence of God about? He's what? He's, oh, that's even better. He's everywhere present, right? But he's always present. See, you just flip from transcendence to immanence, condescension. Okay. Oh, you're just messing with me with that definition. That's good. All right, you ready? So here's what the Bible teaches about the omnipresence of God. You read the Psalms. The psalmist will say that God, who often seems far away. How many of you have ever just been walking and you're like, I just don't. I know some of you, I mean, maybe you haven't faced that trouble yet, but there are times when you have the dark night of the soul and you just feel like, I don't know if he's here, and I'm just trying to live faithfully, and I'm facing trouble. That's why we sing songs like, he's as close as the mention of his name. I want to encourage you tonight. You bow your heads. Here's what I feel tonight. I feel like it's like when we face sickness it's a miscue. I'm not done yet, but I just feel like pausing for a moment. See, I wish I was like Miss Talented's Brother Mooney. Brother Alex, I would just sing a little while and preach a little while and sing a little while and preach a little while. I am not my sisters. See, what we're saying is God seems far away. But even when he seems far away, he has the unlimited ability to be present with his judgment, his mishpat, Brother Norman, and his grace and his help, even when we least expect. And see, that knowledge, Brother Bass, can carry you through dark times when your feelings will lie. We walk by faith and not by sight. You ready? We believe what God has disclosed about himself. And sometimes all you're going to have is you just got to grab that book and say, Lord, you said you would never leave or forsake me, that you would be with me always, even until the end of the age. I just got to trust you today. I got to lean on a little revelation. And when you lean on revelation and let your life be guided by that, the encounter with God being with you in that moment is right. You can get more than your feelings. You can get more than the limits of your own understanding. What are you saying, Brother Kilman? See, the psalmist says if a person begins to see that, they can dare to believe that God will never and nowhere lose sight of his creation. Why? Because he's everywhere. Ready? That's why the psalmist says, whether shall I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You ready? I don't know what you're facing today, but you can say right in the middle of those circumstances, Lord, I'm clinging to the revelation of your promise that you're with me. It doesn't matter what my emotions say. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to tell me that I'm forsaken. See, here's the problem. If you don't get revelation right, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you'll believe a lie and be trapped away from the peace of God and the power of God in a circumstance. But if you do what Jesus did and you take the word of the God and you begin to fight back against the lies of the enemy in your life, right in the midst of the storm, you can have the peace of God. Come help me, Alex. I'm going to try to close it. What are you saying? The apostle said it this way, Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I wish we had time to dive into the Acts 17 and let you get it all. I have to let you do that on your own time. See, revelation is encounter. That means that we can reach him today. Even the prodigal can lift up his eyes from the pig pen and through knowledge of his father. See, even there, You have knowledge, and the revelation is the opportunity for the encounter. Trouble and sickness. You can find out he'll be a lawyer in the courtroom, and he'll be a doctor in the sick room. He'll be a comforter in the times of distress, and he's a problem solver. And we're not talking about little esoteric pieces of knowledge that we've studied and logged in a book. We're talking about the God that's available to us, that we're in relationship with. Oh. The omniscience of God. Look at Psalm 1:6. Think about the omniscience of God, that God knows everything. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What does it mean, Brother Norman, that God knows the way of the righteous? Does it mean that he doesn't know the way of the sinner? It's not what the text says. He says the way of the ungodly shall perish, but the Lord knoweth. That's intimate. He's involved with. He's omniscient in that sense. He's intricately involved in every aspect of creation. I wish we had time to go through all of Psalm 139 tonight. Psalmist right, David, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Is that intimidating? Is the psalmist writing that to scare all the Sunday school kids? That God knows everything about you, every thought you go. No, he's saying, I already know all of this. And I still want a relationship with you. So why haven't you brought your problems to me yet? He says, I'm right here and I've disclosed who I am. I know everything about you. And I'm still reaching for you. And that reaching and that understanding is the opportunity to encounter the God of revelation. The God who is hungry for relationship with us. What do you say, Brother Kilman? Like Job, he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I wish we had time to deal with all the attributes of God, the simplicity of God. And how about the eternity of God? God is eternal. What does it mean, Brother Norman, that God is eternal? Does that mean that God's up there somehow like a, you know, the unmoved mover in the eternal now of Augustine? Him, it means that God, who is eternal, is in charge of time's arrow. And if he's in charge of time's arrow, and when the psalmist gets the revelation of that, he says, my times are in thy hand. Ready? You don't have to worry about the problems. Sometimes, Sister Bass, we have to remind ourselves that God is in charge of everything, and he sees the end from the beginning. You ready? And he knows everything. So in a moment of chaos, right, in a moment of struggle, in a moment of saying, Lord, I don't know if this is all going to work out, God can say, don't you know that I'm in charge of time? Don't you know that I've seen every step that you're going to take? And if I have called you here and I've asked you to do something, I'm going to provide every step. Stand with me now. I just got to quit. Brother Mooney has that beautiful illustration of the man that he wrote about Handel's Messiah. Remember that him talking about? It's beautiful. If you're ever at a place where they play the Hallelujah Chorus, I've never been to a place, or I don't know of a place, where there's not been at the brother end of it, Brother Lopez, a standing ovation. Because you just have to respond. What Handel tried to incorporate into his song was the power of God, the beauty of God, everything, the Hallelujah Chorus, right? And everybody, they just have to almost stand to their feet and respond by clapping their hands. But the man began to say, Pentecostals are different. After everybody else claps, Pentecostals are just getting started. Why? He says, because what Handel tried to capture in the song, Pentecostals begin to do in worship. Why? Because our understanding is not just something we clap out. It's an opportunity for us to lift our hands tonight and say, Lord, you're here. you're here, and we understand your grandeur, and we understand your nature, and we understand your majesty. And here we are in all of our needs, knowing, Lord, that you're not far from any of us. He can do it. Man, there's so much I want to say to you. Let me close with this. Let me give you the wisdom of a four-year-old. I love telling this story on my son. He's a little guy. I've told it in here before. Forgive me for repeating, but I think it illustrates the point. It's just being simple. It's just understanding God in the simplicity of a young child. My boy looks at my wife, and he's just a little kid, and he says, Mom, why are we here? And she says, well, buddy, we live here. Our house is here. Our stuff is here. That's why we're here. He said, no, Mommy. Why is everything here? And she said, well, very different question. Right? And she says, well, God made us. He created everything. He created the world. And he says, you mean God built us? And she said, yeah, buddy, God built us. He goes, I've got to tell Daddy. See, because when you understand the wisdom of just a four-year-old child that he built us. You ready? He's involved. You have to tell someone. You have to encourage somebody. Vince, he built us. He's involved. He made us. He made everything, and he's involved. So here's what I want to say. I want to give you the wisdom of a five-year-old child or a four-year-old child. You ready? He knows right where you're at. The God of the universe, the God of all glory, is saying, understand me so you can encounter me. You ready? And it's not enough to know about the peace of God. I want you to experience peace. It's not enough to know, you ready, that the Lord can take care of everything. You ready? I want you to understand that I am your provider. So this is what I want you to do. I want to invite you tonight. All of you wonderful apostolics who have knowledge of God. You have knowledge of God. I want you to try to say, Lord, I'm going to lift up my problem and have an encounter tonight. Come on, let's say he loves you. He loves you. Cast your burdens on him. Why? Because he's strong enough. He's saying, I'm strong enough. I want you to know I can take care of you. I want you to know that I'm involved in your life. I want you to know that I want a relationship. Just knowledge. I want to walk with you every day. I want to help you with your problems. I want you to come to me and talk to me in times of fear so that you can understand I am your comforter. I'm not just the comforter for Israel. I'm not just the comforter for New Testament people. I'm not just the comforter for other people in the church. I am your peace. Come on, in your own way. Would you just... God is right here tonight. That's what I'm trying to preach. That's what I'm trying to explain to you tonight. Whatever you need, you're encountering the God of that need tonight. He's a need supplier. He's a way maker. He's a savior, a redeemer, a provider, a healer, a protector, a way maker.
Thank you for lifting. Lord, thank you for lifting.
We love you.
Thank you for lifting.